E cá estamos de volta ao Conversas que Importam, hoje para uma conversa muito agradável com o escritor luso-americano Frank X. Gaspar, já bem conhecido do público português, um escritor de língua inglesa com ascendência portuguesa natural aqui de Provincetown, em Massachusetts. Um escritor que já tem uma dimensão nacional. Frank X. Gaspar é bastante conhecido por um título anterior, Living Pico, e nós hoje vamos falar do seu novo livro, que se intitula The Poems of Renata Ferreira, publicado pela Tagus Press, o ramo editorial do departamento do Centro de Estudos Portugueses da UMass Dartmouth. Hi, how are you, Frank?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. We are trying to do our best living during these crazy times of our lives, right?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes my best is not good enough.
I want to welcome you here. We would love to talk about all of your books. But and you're very welcome if you want to talk about some of the titles that probably our public knows best. But today we're here for a particular reason. You recently published a book, The Poems of Renata Ferreira. I'm pronouncing your name in Portuguese.
Yes.
And it's a very complex book, I would say. And I think it was published, we have talked about this, maybe it in terms of editing, probably it was not published at the right time because it's not easy to promote a book during pandemic times. But the content of the book, I think it's very important for these days. First of all, I would like to ask you to talk about the book. We want to, as future readers of your book, we want to know what is your book about.
Well, okay. It's about a Portuguese-American and Portuguese, later Portuguese poet, Renata Ferreira, who may or may not be an actual person, although to my mind she is. But the book starts in Provincetown, which at one time was almost completely populated by Portuguese. If I go back and look, shortly after World War II, maybe in the early 50s, all of the town selectmen were Portuguese. It was really quite an interesting place to grow up. And of course, we had our poorer Portuguese families, and we had others that were more well-to-do, the owners of the fishing boats and so forth. And then there were laborers. But it was really growing up in a different America for us. And of course, that's gone now. It's been gentrified and developed and so forth. It's a big resort area now. It's kind of like this giant cruise ship is the way I think of it. But we have some good friends of mine and some folks who did stay in town, very, you know, few, most of us left, I think, in the 70s and later to find work and to find our lives other places. But there's a cadre of people who have stayed there and they keep the Portuguese traditions going. There's a very large Portuguese festival every June. Mm-hmm. It used to be the Blessing of the Fleet. It still is, but it's become more than that. In the old days, the bishop from New Bedford would come down, and the decorated fishing boats would parade by the end of the wharf, and he would, you know, bless them with holy water and so forth. It was kind of a big deal. So anyway,
You are talking about a community. I can see emotion, right? Because you're talking about your memories too. But you're talking about a community as it is perceived from the outside in terms of a traditional community. I think in this book, you moved further in terms of identities. And I think it's a very challenging reading for the Portuguese community, even nowadays, because this book and this character in particular She represents ideals that probably haven't been synthesized yet among the Portuguese communities. Because one thing is when people give a public opinion to be recorded, and the other thing is when you talk to people in private. And here, the ideals of April, the ideals of accepting the other as different, they're all present in this book, which is not something still easy to deal with in this community.
I do understand that, and it's a far cry, it seems to me, from leaving Pico, which most Portuguese people who read my work tend to gravitate to that. But we aren't, in my experience, we aren't stuck there. That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot to say about identity, and certainly about this drift in our country now toward fascism. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to put it. And I wrote this book. I started writing it in 2015. So, you know, we didn't have the political situation we have now, but I became, I became fascinated, I guess, with this character, Renata,
uh-huh.
Who is a, you know, she fled with her mother when she was a little girl. She fled Portugal right around the beginning of of World War II, fleeing fascism and fleeing the coming war and so forth. Grew up in America, she's a gay woman, and she represents, I think, I don't know what she represents. I didn't create her to represent anything. She actually created herself. But Provincetown has always been a place, besides the Portuguese living there. And in the summers, the Bohemian element would come down from the New York principally. But we had artists and writers and, creative people, teachers. Many of them were gay. So the gay community and the Portuguese community in my end of town, the west end of town, we rented rooms to them and so forth. So there really was the membrane was permeable. I mean, there was just, we just lived together and everybody knew each other and so forth. So there were Renatas around. I guess that's her origin.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened literally was I was working on a novel, and I needed a character to say one line in the book. So I put her in this conversation, and that was it. And someone called her Renata, and I thought, oh, well, that's a good name. Maybe 100 pages later, I was on my back porch, and I was writing, and this crazy thing came out. I stopped, and I looked. What have I written? And it wasn't my voice, so...
I like how you move between the Portuguese reference here to our country, the United States, and how reflecting about this Portuguese or Lusophone heritage here also helps us think about the reality that we are living right now. And I would like this character, beyond the fact that she's a gay woman, what does it bring to the narrative in terms of the quality of the reflections that she passes down to us, or the questions that her presence asks in terms of the perception of the human life and this concept of the otherness, and how important it is to have a fair perspective or a better perspective about the rights that all people have to live and to be perceived as complete human beings without being cataloged as this or that?
Okay, that's a wonderful question. And I think, ironically, if Renata had stayed in America and lived in Provincetown, there would have been very, very little otherness about her because the community there was great. It was, and still is today. It's you know, very gay friendly. It always has been back to the early 1900s when, you know, women couples and men couples would come and they were the bachelors and the, what was it, the Boston marriages. That was the euphemisms for these gay people. And so Renata could have stayed there and, you know, just had a some sort of regular life as an artist. Something about her galvanized. And when she was in New York, of course, Vietnam was erupting. She became very involved in that. And of course, circumstances played out that she had to flee, and she went back to Portugal and became very involved in the resistance in the late years of the Salazar regime. And she led me there with her poems. Her poems did not come from me. I have to emphasize that.
Mm-hmm.
This voice would just dictate a poem to me from time to time, and then with increasing frequency. And I had been to the islands and to Lisbon a number of times because of the earlier books. And so I picked up a lot of things. And I remember one time I was in a cafe bar, and there were a lot of people in there, and they were singing. And I thought, oh, isn't that great? You know, that's kind of like how the Americans sing the old Green Grow the Lilacs, you know, the old anthems and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And, I was aware of this, and I'm sure that seeped into my consciousness, but certainly Renata becomes very active in the underground and among the underground network. And as I the book came to me in a way more than I made it, but I could see that she was working in the underground. There was a repression of women's sexuality. You know, we think of the Three Marias,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And so it seems that there was a gay element in the resistance. They had everything to fight against, but that's not, she doesn't emphasize that too much. So she just is who she is, and she is driven by passion. She's passionately against the fascists. She's passionate about her lovers, if indeed they are real, her two lovers. And she lives her life in a very, very full way. Her life overflows. It doesn't have any boundaries, it seems to me. And I was very interested in that because it's very unlike me. And she just visited me with, I think, about 60 poems over from 2015, 2016, 2017, over a couple of years. And so I would have to scurry around and find out. She would drop a hint about something. She'd mention the Three Marias, which I knew about, but I didn't know enough about. So I would follow that. And so these little pieces of information that would pop up as part of her poems would lead me deeper and deeper into her life and to her passionate resistance to fascism. And so when I put the book together, it was, I felt that it was, had some importance, at least to our own drift toward fascism. But it's very subtle in America. It's very different in America, or it was. And so I thought that was important. And then, of course, we had the 2016 election, and then everything exploded. And I thought, yeah, you know, we're really on the precipice here. So Renata became, in my mind, more relevant in that aspect of her life. But also, it was fun to see these poems emerged. I couldn't write one of these poems with a gun at my head consciously, so they just came, and I was fascinated by her writing and how it was unabashed. It broke all the rules, and it was sort of like her personality. it was boundless. And so her poems really fascinated me. I would love to write the way she does, but I'm not her. I'm sort of her conduit or something. And I mean that truly. So the early Provincetown morphs into New York in the Vietnam era, and then morphs into the discovery of her poems, which taken together as a whole, the manuscript came to me in a fish box with my typewriter that I had lent her in New York. The poems themselves told a story about her, her life, her loves, and also about Portugal and the resistance, and of course April 25th, which is a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. And when April 25th in and of itself, and so I've read these poems in a few places before the pandemic, before the book was out. Actually, it was being made, and so I read it a couple of times, and it was amazing. People had never heard of, well, they didn't know much about Portugal at all.
That's it.
it's really, and they thought, Renata was just, who is this person? And the story of the bloodless revolution, the two armies coming together and stopping and talking. And then everybody turns around and goes back into Lisbon and overthrows the government. It's a beautiful story. And people just loved it, in the live audience that I would. And I thought, oh, this is great. It fascinates people, and it should. It should certainly fascinated me. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that in talking about Renata, I go back and forth between talking about her as a character and talking about her as a real person and talking about myself as a character in the book. And I am boundaryless there. I'm Frankie G in the book, and I'm Frank the writer out here, and I don't see any wall between them. I kind of live in the book and I don't live in the book. That's kind of the genesis of her. And I understood that I was writing something that had certainly about identity, certainly about political realities, but it was also a kind of coming of age story for Frank or Frankie G in the book, and it was also watching Renata evolve into a very powerful. Figure, powerful woman who is nonetheless completely vulnerable in her loves, in her love life. And I thought that was an interesting combination. And I take no credit for creating her. She seemed to create her. She created herself somehow using my psyche to do it. But that's the book.
Mm-hmm. You're talking obviously about the process of creating, right? And yeah. This idea that comes up when you are talking about the Vietnam War and how we can create parallels with what happened with the Portuguese colonialism. I mean, I'm not comparing, we're talking about two different stories, but in terms of human experience, we as a community, we haven't listened to the voices of the Portuguese Americans who had to participate in Vietnam War, but we also don't talk about the voices of the man who had to participate in the colonial war. To do that, one has to leave the community.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. All right, so are you asking me if one has to leave the community to do that?
To do that, because in Portuguese, using Portuguese, we don't talk about those. We haven't talked about those experiences during these last few decades. And when there is someone who participated in those events, tries to show how it influenced his life. It's not easy. Beyond the moments when we have monuments, right, to the veterans, we don't talk much about those experiences. Is this book also a text that helps people see those events from the inside instead of just the monument?
Mm-hmm. You raise an interesting issue. I remember growing up in Provincetown, no one ever spoke about politics, either American politics or the old country, as they called it. I mean, they were town politics, you know, the selectmen and this kind of thing, but you never heard about the world and where they came from. And if they talked about where they came from, in my neighborhood, mostly the islands, but the islands were talked about with great nostalgia, you know, great salad. Mm-hmm. But that's it. And so there was none, absolutely no political discussions. They didn't talk about, I mean, no one ever talked about the government in Portugal that mm-hmm. they left, you know. So I understand what you mean. And I, to a large extent, I sort of knew that this book would have to find fissures and cracks and so forth to get into a reader, Portuguese American readership. Mm-hmm. Generally, we like to hear about someone coming from the old country and doing well or struggling but prevailing, those kinds of narratives. And the characters in them are, you know, typical immigrant characters and immigrant stories and so forth. But there's a whole different life. There's another life that is real that is not spoken of. And in terms of Americans, when I have read these poems, Americans have never heard of the Portuguese wars in Africa. No idea. Mm-hmm. Really? You know, like, what? It's a book that's going to have to work to find its readership. And of course, as you pointed out, coming out at the beginning of the pandemic, it's kind of... well, let's say euphemistically difficult to get the book out into a readership, and I had hoped that Americans and Portuguese Americans would find things in it that aren't talked about. I mean, I'm Portuguese American. I certainly hadn't heard any of these things, and so I guess that was my idea. Mm-hmm. When I realized I had a book, I didn't realize what I had for a while. I had these crazy poems. I had this novel I was working on. I just kind of let it go, flowed with it. But when I finally saw that I had something, I really had great hope that it would find its way. And with some help, I had, as you know, intended to go on the road and, you know, behind the book. I was coming back east to do readings and appearances and so forth. And we had some ideas about disseminating the book, all of which completely stopped when the pandemic.
But so this is going to end, and I'm sure you will be able to get in the road.
I really miss it. I walk around moaning about it. Oh, I wish I were on the road. Uh-huh. But I hope so. And I do enjoy, I like the book. I enjoy it because there's this other person in it that I am not. And so it's not something, I can't claim that I wrote these poems. Like, I couldn't write them. But somehow or another, they were percolating in me and came through me. And so I just wrote a narrative about her being a real person, because to me, she seemed real. And I take great joy in reading her poems aloud to an audience, because I guess I'm reading someone else.
I understand. And this is an act of courage too. Reading this book is an act of courage. And I would like to ask you to read an excerpt from the book so that our public can have a flavor, right, about
I would love to read a few poems. If I may, I want to just say one thing about coming from Provincetown and writing my experience as a Portuguese American. I have always written with a chip on my shoulder because of how the Portuguese came. let's see, my grandparents were born, they were Victorians, I guess, because born in the 1880s or something like that. But, you know, it was very Yankee and so forth. And so one of the early books that was written in 1939 was kind of a history of Provincetown, and by a guy named Mellon C.M. Hatch. This is what he says about the Portuguese. "We have neither space nor need to trace in detail the place of the Portuguese in the history of Provincetown," and which infuriated me.
Yeah.
And there are other examples. I won't go off into them, but I have two or three of them where, as you know, in Renata's book, there are a couple of excerpts, one from the New York Times, one from the New Yorker, all very condescending to the Portuguese. And so I do write with that chip on my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And if I'm the only person that's going to speak for the Portuguese community in Provincetown, I'm going to do it. so that's that. What would you like to hear from Renata?
I want you to choose.
Okay. Let's see. I have some marked here. Okay. She's clearly Sappho is her muse, and you know, Sappho wrote that one of her poems that did survive. Most of them were burned and destroyed. I can't remember the year, but the Catholic Church didn't like them very early, late Roman, early. Sappho is kind of this mysterious figure whose poems have come down to us. And I think Renata felt that way maybe about herself. And certainly I witness her as a rather mysterious figure. I think we have about 52 of her poems. Very clearly there are more somewhere. I don't know where. Mm-hmm. But she writes her poems always to a woman named Anactoria, who was Sappho's favorite young girl. And she left Sappho to marry. And so I'll read the first poem called Island. Which is, of course, is Lesbos. And so this is where Renata begins speaking to her own lover, Anactoria. "Anactoria, you can feel her young, her smooth, her long muscles, her hair like the wet stones, her thicket even blacker, naked in the sunlight. It makes me choke, a sob in the jail of my own bones, trying to get it out. And so much missing in that yellow book you gave me, fragments, tatters. Where did all those pieces disappear to? The roof beams here have been lowered, the ceiling sweats, the defects, the bloom. You won't be young again. The girls you pined for will stay young forever. You don't have a song for them. Your legs ache, you say. What's next, you say? What shape were those sails? That's what you wrote in pencil at the bottom of a page. All I see is an island, a shore, the sand bright in the sun. You see, this is that trance you call love. It does them no good. They no longer love our queen and her girls. You are trying to tell me something. You are saying all that yearning is now for me, for you, for whoever will allow it. You can see she left us with some kind of wound."
I want to thank you for sharing with us this passage. I want to thank you for opening up about your writing process, about the community, about what it means to be a Luso American, but also about reflecting about our country. Thank you so much, Frank.
My gratitude too. Thank you very, very much for listening to me. I feel very, very motivated about what I speak of. I think that our Portuguese communities need to be heard. We have been somehow, I think, silenced or erased, mm-hmm. At least in terms of the broader literature landscape. And I think we have to fight to take our place.
Thank you.
Thank you.